Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and you can feel free to call in. We're going to talk about the news today. In Iraq, the terrorists are threatening to kill Jill Carroll, the American journalist. You've probably seen pictures of her, beautiful young woman, and they've now released video of her crying, begging that the terrorist demands be met. And also, what else is in the news? The inmate in Massachusetts has been found guilty. This is the guy who beat to death and strangled the Catholic priest, John Gagan, who had molested children, the Boston Archdiocese child sex scandal. That priest who was convicted and sentenced to jail, you might recall that he was killed in jail. So, see, the system works. The priest molested children, and he was sentenced to, what, life in prison? And he was beat to death while in jail and strangled. So see, the system works. Now, never say, see, the system works, unless somebody who should have been put to death is beat to death in prison. It's the only time you're allowed to say, see, the system works. Because the system does not work. The system is in a colossal meltdown. And what else in Denver? The rapist. Now, we've talked about this rapist briefly last week, but this John Ricks, 31 years old, was convicted of raping a 16-year-old girl in 1992, and it's thanks to DNA evidence convicted him. It was a cold case. And so here at Bob Enyart Live for many years, we've been calling for a national DNA database to be assembled over time so that sexual crimes could be solved and the number of sexual crimes be reduced dramatically. All right, what else is in the news? That's mostly what we want to talk about. And then also, oh, in Florida, in Florida, as if they didn't have enough things to deal with in Florida, now they have killer bees, right? They have hurricanes, roaches, sea lice, high insurance premiums, and now killer bees. And the killer bees, they're going to change your life. They think they've spotted them in Disney, downtown Disney, and Busch Gardens, and Lake Okeechobee, and two meter readers were covered with thousands of killer bees, but luckily they didn't die, but it's real possible. These Africanized, aggressive bees. So Florida, boy, they got... I'm glad I live in Colorado right now. Got a lot of troubles down there in Florida. Okay, so our phone number, if you're interested in any of those news stories, 800-8-ENYART. Or to follow up with any of the topics we've been talking about on Bob Enyart Live, including Samuel Alito, our phone number is 800-8-ENYART. Enyart is spelled E-N-Y-A-R-T. This is Bob Enyart Live. And so the numbers for that phone number is 800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. And soon Bob Enyart Live will begin airing in Des Moines, Iowa. So that's exciting, Des Moines and Ames, Iowa. And then also February 1st, right around the corner, begins our telethon, the month of February. $10,000 is our goal to raise in one-time gifts and $1,000 in monthly subscriptions or pledges. So you could be thinking about that. And when the telethon starts, if we meet our goals, then we end the telethon early. So... and this is for Denver. This is to keep Bob Enyart Live on the radio. In fact, the most powerful Christian radio station in America, KLTT, 50,000-watt AM station. And AM stations, the lower on the dial, the further the signal goes. Did you know that? So if you have 10,000 watts in the middle of the dial, that's so-so. 10,000 watts high up on the far right end of the dial, sort of a weak station. 10,000 watts low on the dial, that's pretty powerful. Well, we are 50,000 watts low at 670 AM, which makes KLTT the most powerful Christian radio station in America, and we're honored to be on. Okay, now starting off with the American journalist who's been kidnapped in Iraq by terrorists, Jill Carroll. You've probably seen her picture on the internet, in newspapers, on TV. Beautiful young woman, undoubtedly reporting the, well, not, I don't think she's been reporting the conservative Christian take on the goings-on in Iraq. But certainly she is an innocent victim to this horrendous kidnapping. And now these Islamic extremists are threatening to kill her, you know, probably behead her, cut her head off in front of video cameras. And so Al Jazeera today has aired a videotape that is said to, the video was said to be taken yesterday, no, 2 days ago, January 28th, so on Saturday. And in the video, Al Jazeera didn't air the audio, but just showed the video, and she is crying in the video, and she's wearing a conservative Islamic veil, and she's speaking, and they said she's asking for the women prisoners in Iraq to be released. So that's the demands this time by the terrorists. And America, we don't negotiate with terrorists. That's our policy. But it's not only policy, it should be the law. Because when you give in to the demands of kidnappers, you pay them off, you actually become part of the crime. And then the next kidnapping, you are partly responsible for because you follow the money. And when you give thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to kidnappers, you spawn more kidnapping. Now, that's rocket scientists. Most liberals can't figure that out, but that's the way that works. And so then you become complicitous. Well, these terrorists are demanding the release of the women prisoners in Iraq. And according to the Associated Press, the U.S. military said on Thursday it would release five Iraqi women detainees. And that's what the kidnappers are demanding in order to spare this woman's life. And so I've seen that reported since last week. The military said, well, we're going to release five Iraqi women prisoners, but it has nothing to do with the kidnappers' demand. Now, this is a tragedy, and if it's a coincidence, it's despicable anyway. If these five women were about to be released, now we don't have many Iraqi women in custody in Iraq. I don't know the number. But if these five women were just coincidentally about to be released, then their sentences should be extended. And we should keep them in prison longer just to make it clear that we are not releasing these women according to the demands of the kidnappers. Because absolutely nothing should be done to give kidnappers, terrorists, the belief that their terrorism is paying off. Because now liberals can't understand this, but when you give in to the demands of terrorists and kidnappers, you get more terrorism and more kidnapping. But liberals can't understand that. Okay, so what an absolute tragedy. And I pray that our military has the opportunity, the wisdom, the insight, the intelligence, the information to go in and rescue Jill Carroll. What an absolute tragedy. All right? So our phone number, 800-8-NYARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. And now from the See the System Works file, See the System Works, the inmate who strangled that child-molesting priest, John Gagan, He was convicted of murder just this past week after a jury was not convinced that he was temporarily insane. That was the defense, temporary insanity. So this guy, 40-year-old Joseph Druce, he's convicted, and now they don't have the death penalty there. Do they have the death penalty in Massachusetts? Well, they gave him 40 years to life, something like that. And so, see, the system works because John Gagan got the death penalty. And, you know, you could say, well, we don't have the death penalty here, but you do have the death penalty. It's just different people get killed. When you have the swift death penalty, then murderers get killed. When you don't have the death penalty, then more victims, innocent victims, get killed. Okay, let's go to the phones. 800-836-9278 in Fort Lupton, Colorado. John, welcome to Bob and Eric Live.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Say, I wanted to give you a call. I today got an email response from Focus on the Family because I complained about Dr. Dobson reneging on his pledge.
Yes.
And they wrote back that they take exception to my negative characterization of Dr. Dobson and wonder how I can make such a definitive judgment at such a great distance and how I don't know the doctor or the first thing about his reasoning processes.
Oh. Now, Focus on the Family sent a letter explaining that Dr. Dobson has abandoned his abortion pledge, the pledge he made to God. As long as God allows him to live on this earth, he would never again vote for a politician who would kill a single innocent child. And we have a letter sent to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church, James Craddock, from Focus on the Family on their letterhead, signed by one of their staff members, Ross Marshall, you know, and then RM/DG. So whoever DG is, a secretary, typed the letter. And it states explicitly that, rightly or wrongly, Dr. Dobson chose to compromise his own standard. He believes God has led him to no longer abide by his pledge. In that letter, we scan that letter. It's on the internet at kgov.com. In fact, we had one of our listeners who is blind called in today because she has software that reads web pages to her. And she wanted to read the letter, and the letter is a graphic image. It's a JPEG. And so her software didn't read the letter. So, of course, we're happy to read it to her. But so, John, so what's happening? So they emailed you back and said, how could you know this?
Well, not so much that, but maybe they were implying that, but they just said that I couldn't know the first thing about the reasoning of his processes that it let him take this stand.
So they're admitting, so when you sent an email, their response is admitting that he has changed his stand, but you don't understand why?
Exactly. You know, they don't mention what I had written to them because it was concerning the pledge.
Right.
And just challenged me that I'm unable to comprehend what his strategy is, I guess.
So then did they explain the strategy to justify James Dobson's new position?
No, they just kind of like gave me a talking to, I suppose, in words. And then they repeat that he's a champion of the pro-life cause and he takes backseat to no one. What it says here.
Yeah. Well, it is tragic. We encourage people to read the letter for themselves that we got from Focus on the Family. It's devastating. I was at a board meeting of a pro-life organization this past weekend, and they asked me, I'm a board member of a group, and they asked me to give them an update on our Focus on the Strategy DVD and the presentation, and I handed out this letter with the yellow highlights, just like on the internet at KGov, of the key elements where James Dobson has abandoned his pledge to no longer support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. In fact, they broaden it in their letter. They say They say it's true. As Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. So they broadened it from he would never vote for a politician who would kill a single innocent child to that he would never vote for any politician who supports abortion. And then recently, however, Dr. Dobson felt he was faced with the necessity of changing that position. And then they write, Dr. Dobson, rightly or wrongly, chose to compromise his own standard, but he believes God has led him in this direction. And it's just tragic, because when you have conflicting in life, you have conflicting values. You know, you have your political desires to get control of a government or a culture, and then you have moral principles like thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not steal. And in history, it's been possible for people who murder and steal to get some political power or additional political power by behaving badly. But as Christians, our chief loyalty should be to God and his principles, especially thou shalt not murder. And so whatever political maneuverings we do, which it's fine, it's good to try to influence our government, but it should all be constrained by thou shalt not murder. And when we say, well, you know what, for political consideration, we're going to compromise on James Dobson's standard because we think the political benefits down the road will pay off, that is a very bad calculation.
I would agree, and certainly it seems that unless he feels he's going to step on the wrong toes, that he should explain why he made this change.
Yeah, well, in this letter, they do explain it, only it's a terrible explanation.
Right.
Did you see on KGov.com that the elder James Craddock wrote a letter back to Focus on the Family?
Yes.
And maybe I'll read that to the audience real quickly.
I wish you would, so they understand it if anybody's been just tuned in.
Yeah, okay. So James Craddock, this letter is to Dear Dr. James Dobson, and it's signed In Christ, James Craddock, an elder from Denver Bible Church. And the letter says, I am saddened, along with Pastor Bob Enyart, that you now promote legal positivism, elevating man's law, and then in parentheses, the Constitution, precedent, etc., elevating man's law above thou shalt not murder. Our Christian leaders are now more faithful to political strategies than they are to God's law, and you more readily compromise on do not murder than on Republican Party politics. Our goal is not to oppose Republicans, but to convince Christians foremost to obey God's principles of justice, including from Exodus 23:7, do not kill the innocent. And then from Matthew 15:3, quoting Jesus, do not transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition. Now, that's exactly what's going on here.
Oh, yeah. I just don't understand him. Where does he think he's learned something the rest of us haven't, because we really have incrementally been losing?
Yeah, right. Good point. And then also, James Craddock continues, he quotes Romans 8:3, and do not, quote, do evil that good may come of it, unquote. So those are some Bible passages here. Do not kill the innocent. Do not transgress God's commands because of your tradition, whether it's political tradition or legal tradition or judicial philosophy. Don't disobey God because of your own opinion, Jesus said. And then James Craddock continues with his letter to Dr. Dobson. As an example of the compromise of Focus on the Family is your failure to inform your listeners of Judge Samuel Alito's decade-long string of extremist pro-abortion rulings. And then it says, see the KGov Alito report card, which is so painful. Somebody clicks on that link. It's right at the top of KGov.com, the Alito report card, and it is utterly damning. In each decision, you have the year and the extremist pro-abortion decision written by Samuel Alito, and then you click on the name of the ruling, the opinion, and it goes right to the official ruling itself. So these are not allegations. These are rulings, decisions. And then James Craddock continues, Carrie Gordon Earle, a Focus spokeswoman, told the media that you are less interested in a judge's position on abortion than in his judicial philosophy. And likewise, on November 8th, 2005, Gary Bauer, who's a very close associate of James Dobson, wrote, quote, on the 2000 partial birth case, Samuel Alito wrote a separate concurring opinion, which kept legal partial birth abortion, by the way, that simply cited Stenberg as binding precedent. As a judge committed to judicial restraint, that's exactly what he should do, unquote. Imagine that, John.
I know.
Gary Bauer, pro-life, former presidential candidate for the Republican Party primaries, you know, associate, close associate of James Dobson, defends Alito's ruling to keep legal partial birth abortion in the year 2000. And he said that's exactly what a good judge should do. So then James Craddock, almost at the end here, Dr. Dobson, you are leading the evangelical Christian community to the exact place that, quote, good Germans were, unquote, in the Holocaust. For as legal positivists, they justified their participation in the slaughter of the innocent because they were merely following orders, obeying the law, and following precedent, doing exactly what a good judge should do. Because, and then a new sentence, quoting James 3:1, because teachers shall receive a stricter judgment, you should remember what the Apostle Peter said, quoting Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men. I respectfully request you to reconsider your position, Dr. Dobson, for you are leading Christians to a sad commitment. We must obey man rather than God. In Christ, James Craddock, Elder, Denver Bible Church. All right.
Thank you.
John, thank you so much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Really appreciate that. 800-836-9278 in Denver. Robert, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob. I got kind of a probably a rhetorical question for you, but it's been asked, and I have not listened to the show and heard your answer on this. But
yeah,
when you're talking about Alito and saying that, you know, he's not a very good candidate, he supports pro-choice and things like that, the natural question that next comes is, well, who does Bob Enyart have to elect then?
Well, how about our lawyer? The lawyer who's represented many of us pro-lifers here in Denver. Mike Norton was appointed by Ronald Reagan to be the U.S. attorney in Denver. And I haven't actually interviewed Mike specifically as to his belief system, but I hope he wouldn't say, like John Roberts said, that there's nothing in my personal beliefs that would prevent me from fully and faithfully upholding Roe v. Wade. I hope he wouldn't do like Samuel Alito and vote to keep legal partial birth abortion. So I would consider Mike Norton, former U.S. attorney, appointed by Reagan, reappointed by George Bush Sr. And by the way, his wife is the lieutenant governor of Colorado. So that's one. I would talk to him and interview him.
Okay, I think what they're trying to get at is that if Christians are going to be part of the political system and they're going to go in and vote for candidates,
yeah.
I think just like Dobson, you have to take the best out of the two because you're operating in a world.
Robert,
probably not going to be completely true.
Robert, so we're talking about nominating a judge for the Supreme Court for life who voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. That's not picking one out of the two. That is Christian leaders looking the other way, misinforming the Christian community into thinking that this is a strong pro-life judge, misrepresenting his egregious record. So you're talking about something else. We're talking about James Dobson's.
It all ties into the same thing.
That's
it may
another.
Not be directly what I started with, but.
Yeah, but why don't we stay on this?
Like this judge that you're talking about.
Samuel Alito.
No. The one that you proposed.
Well, I mentioned Mike Norton.
Okay, other guy, all right. Well, you know, for even anybody to give an opinion on the man, he has to be sitting in the seat. And right now.
No, that actually, that's not true.
He's not even in line.
No, well, that's not true. You don't even have to be a judge to be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and there are plenty of former justices who were not judges.
Yeah, but I mean, who does those appointments?
The president nominates and the Senate confirms.
Okay.
So you asked me, Robert, and it doesn't matter, even if I didn't have a name, if you said, well, then who would you have voted for other than Adolf Hitler? It doesn't matter if I had a name or not. My argument would still be right. You don't vote for Adolf Hitler because you think the Nazis are a lesser evil than the Marxists, because the Marxists were right at the heels of the National Socialists in Germany in the 1930s.
Well, I don't live in that era, and neither do you. We live in 2006.
Yeah, and this era, they were killing Jews, and we're killing
I didn't
children.
Have anything to do with that, so I can't be blamed, nor can I stand accountable for what happened in the past.
No, of course not, but Robert,
I can only answer
Robert,
for what I do.
Robert, of course. Was I blaming you for the Holocaust in Germany?
Well, it came across kind of like that. Why cite it if it's not relevant?
Here's why I cite it. Because wise men should learn from history. Fools learn nothing from history.
When I go into the election booth, usually the people that are standing to be elected have already been decided. And unless we rally all the Christians in America,
Robert,
to go for just candidates that go for our values, and right there, just try to do that.
Hey, Robert, okay, so you're bringing it to the general question of democracy, and if you're stuck with two evil candidates, which one do you vote for?
I vote for the best moral candidate out of the two.
So is this a principle, because you're talking about right now in America, but mankind, you know, we exist over thousands of years in hundreds of countries. So would you say that this is a true just principle, that whenever you have two candidates, regardless of how evil they are, you look at it relatively and you support one over the other?
Well, I think we're all going to go in by grace. And saying that anything
100%
perfect, I think you're kind of out of line there.
Robert, I didn't say human beings are sinful. I'm saying one person says I'm going to kill 1,000 Jews, and another person says I'm going to kill 10,000 Jews.
I think it comes down to this. Most of us have regular jobs, and we can't go into detail on a person's character and everything that they believe.
Of course not, which is, Robert,
I go into the voting booth, all I have is a short little snippet of what the guy has done.
Our time. We're out of time.
All right.
Hey, we're out of time. Robert, I'd love to call you back. If you could, give us your phone number. So hopefully we'll get Robert back tomorrow. And in the meantime, our telethon is beginning February 1st, and we really need your help to keep the show Bob and Your Live on the air. So you could subscribe to our monthly Bible study album. Once a month, you get an album in the mail, audio tapes or MP3 CD, a monthly video, some of our great videos. They're so much fun. And the monthly sermons and the best of Bob, the 8 best shows of the month. And some people just make a donation once a month. So please, if you can, help us out at KGov.